Banter is a talk forum invented and hosted by Irish Times music writer Jim Carroll. Since 2009, banter discussions have been cropping up in venues all over the country, covering a wide range of topics from politics, media and pop culture to running, craft beer and feminism, you name it. On Saturday, as part of the Kilkenny Arts Festival, a banter on the big issues will take place at the Parade Tower in Kilkenny. And one of the topics to be discussed is the issue of campaigning. Who does it? Why they do it and how valuable a resource it is for those trying to bring about change. Joining me are two well-known campaigners who will be speaking on Saturday, Maeve O'Rourke, who's been at the forefront of the campaign to seek justice for the survivors of the Magdalen laundries, and Orla Tinsley, who's been campaigning tirelessly for better services for people with cystic fibrosis. I'm also joined on the line by Jim Carroll, who came up with the idea of banter in the first place. Jim, good morning to you.
Good morning, Miles.
How did these events start out?
It started out basically because of a guy called Trevor O'Shea, who owns a venue called Twisted Pepper on Middle Abbey Street in Dublin. He had a small room upstairs. He wanted to do some talky things. He'd been at the Sonar Festival in Barcelona, and he sat in on a couple of talks. He couldn't understand them because they were in Catalan or Spanish, but he got the kind of idea of doing some talks in this room. He approached me back in July 2009, and we started with one on radio, and it just kind of mushroomed from there. I mean, we've done 57 to date. We've done them mostly in Dublin, but also, as you said, the various festivals around the country, like the Errigal Arts Festival, Galway Arts Festival, Other Voices, and the Electric Picnic. And like we've kind of found there's a real appetite for talk out there. You know, I mean, as we all know, Irish people like to talk and like listen to talk radio as well. And these kind of discussions and panels give people a chance to come along, hear some so-called experts and some experts as well talk about these issues, and then, I suppose, raise their own points as well.
And you range from the light to the heavy. What would be the frothiest thing that you've discussed, for example?
the frothiest thing would probably be craft beer, Miles. I mean, that was
literally,
probably,
yeah.
Literally, that would be the frothiest one we would have done. And I mean, we've done. I suppose, you know, it depends. I mean, many people would consider a discussion on Bruce Springsteen to be frothy, but I wouldn't go along with that.
I would agree with you there.
Yeah, and it's just I think, you know, it's we can kind of show you can do light and heavy, and the audiences as well. I mean, depending on the topic, obviously different topics will attract different audiences. But you know, they're quite articulate and they're quite intelligent and quite smart, and they're the ones who really make the night because of the questions they pose after the initial discussion. Because that then sends in discussion maybe in ways that we as the organisers weren't expecting to begin with.
And I would imagine that the topic of campaigning would be towards the heavier end of what you've discussed, or the topics that you've discussed. Where did that one come from?
Absolutely. I mean, the idea of the campaigning panel came actually from one of the guests you're about to speak to, Maeve O'Rourke. Maeve was at a banter we did in London with Other Voices back in April, talking about her work for the Justice the Magdalens campaign. And it kind of got me thinking about like the whole issue of campaigning, why people actually get involved in campaigning, what drives them to get involved with a campaign that they may not have any personal, I suppose, connection with in the first place. Like how they deal with, I suppose, the cudgels they face, how they deal with the knockbacks and the setbacks. And then, I suppose, in the moment of triumph, if they decide to go on and do something else. It just struck me as an area that hasn't been covered in that kind of way before. Actually, looking at, I suppose, at the impetus behind why people themselves get involved. So Maeve, Orla and John Smith from Troco will be discussing this on Saturday.
Okay, and that's in the Kilkenny Arts Festival, and it's in the, just give us some more, it's the Parade Tower in Kilkenny on Saturday.
Correct. It's in the Parade Tower in Kilkenny, starting at 2 o'clock. There's three discussions in all, Miles. There's one on campaigning, followed by one on the state of the arts. Kilkenny Arts Festival is celebrating its 40th anniversary this year, so we've gathered Colin Tobin, Willie White from the Dublin Theatre Festival, who else we've got? We've got Donnacha Dennehy, and we've also got Margaret Kennelly as well, and they'll be discussing kind of the arts in 2013, over the last 40 years, and what issues are coming up in the next while. And the final panel is one on political reform. Political reform being in the kind of ether right now. We've got Mary O'Rourke, Eamon Ryan, Harry McGee and Sarah O'Neill from Dalwash to discuss do the public really want reform, and where reform is going from here.
Right, okay, so starting at 2 o'clock on Saturday in the Parade Tower in Kilkenny. Jim, thank you very much indeed for joining us this morning. Jim, the originator of the banter concept. We're going to talk a little bit about campaigning, and Orla Tinsley and the aforementioned Maeve O'Rourke with me. Orla on the line and Maeve here in studio. Orla, first of all, tell us how it began for you. I think it was a stay in Vincent's Hospital in Dublin that first got you campaigning in the first place.
Yes, I started campaigning by accident, actually, when I moved from the Children's Hospital, Temple Street, to St. Vincent's Hospital in Dublin for treatment for my cystic fibrosis. And I saw firsthand how bad the facilities were and what the system was like. And a few months before I moved over, a report was published saying that the level of care in hospitals for people with cystic fibrosis in Ireland was at a dangerous level, and basically that people were dying earlier than their European counterparts because of this. So it kind of all happened at the same time, and I didn't really think of it as campaigning when I wrote my first piece for the Irish Times, because it's not in your head, you're not thinking I'm starting a campaign, you're thinking, okay, you know, this is wrong, we have to change the situation, and if we don't, people are going to suffer and maybe they'll die. So that's kind of how you think about it. It's not, you know, I didn't think that I'd be doing it for 8 years. It's just kind of, you just do it, you know.
And is that what happens to a lot of people? Do they become campaigners while making other plans? In other words, you kind of get sucked into it gradually without realising it.
I can't speak for everyone, but I think that's what happens. And I think, you know, as far as the CF campaign has gone, it's been good in a way, because the motivation is true. You know, when you're campaigning, you have to just, you know, what it's for. And I think, you know, you could dilute it by choosing to do too many things, but when you have, you're very focused on your goal and you have the right motivation, then, you know, you can move mountains. And, you know, as I said, like, it took 8 years for the unit in St. Vincent's Hospital to be built, and it wasn't smooth sailing. There were many highs and lows along the way, and there was a lot of promises broken. But, you know, it's just something that you end up, you know, halfway through it realizing, well, I'm going to commit to this to get it done, and if I don't commit to it, how else will we get there, you know? And it's really a people power thing in the end.
Maeve, how did you get involved with Justice for Magdalens? I think it was a slightly less accidental, I think, than that.
Well, it's funny listening to Orla, because I suppose in a way accidental for me too. I decided to write my master's thesis when I was studying at Harvard. I was studying a master's on human rights. I decided to write on the Magdalen laundries. And in the course of my research quite early on, I came across a professor, Jim Smith, down the road at Boston College, who was working with this small campaign group, Justice for Magdalens. We met together. He had evidence of state involvement in the Magdalen laundries, and they had been talking about bringing an application for an inquiry to the Irish Human Rights Commission. Now, the minute he said this, I was there to talk to him about what my legal arguments might be for my master's paper. But he said, well, why don't we consider maybe working together? And I also had a professor at the time, Catherine McKinnon, who many people will know is a very influential feminist theorist. I went to her one day in office hours to say, I'm writing about this terrible abuse that happened in Ireland. I think it's appalling. And she said, well, what are you going to do about it? So I suppose what began as an academic project...
Not the usual thing an academic asks. Is,
well, she's a very
more
activist.
Interested in your footnotes.
I know. She's a very, very special academic. And I think a lot of the professors I encountered in Harvard and the attitude there, the way they teach law, is more of a clinical... practical experience. So there was kind of a feeling that you didn't just have to sit and write about something, you could use what you were writing to bring about change.
So a little bit like Orla then, it kind of crept up on you, your involvement crept up and it increased as time went on.
Maybe it did, yes. I mean, I was more than happy, delighted to use my master's paper to help Justice for Magdalens apply to the Irish Human Rights Commission. But I think my involvement and determination increased exponentially when I got to London and met some of the women who'd been in the Magdalen laundries. And that was when I think I reached the point that there was no going back from. I was going to continue to campaign until we as a group had reached, had brought about an apology and had brought about, helped to bring about a compensation scheme for the women. Because once you met them, heard what they'd been through, and once you knew from them what their needs were, there was no way that I was stopping the campaigning I was doing.
Well, we know where that one finished up. Orla, what keeps you going? Obviously, there are dark hours in any campaign. What keeps you going? What keeps you navigating the roadblocks?
Well, the thing about, you know, campaigning for CF is that, you know, I've seen so many people with CF pass away and, you know, have a really difficult time with it because of bad facilities. And I've seen, you know, many friends of mine triumph as well, despite the facilities and despite the lack of care that was there, even though things are better now. So those sort of things, you know, spurn you on. And I think for me personally, there's been such an incredible sense of community that's come out of the campaigning, even though it's been so difficult. The cystic fibrosis community has come together, and people who previously perhaps wouldn't have told their employers that they have CF because they wouldn't want to be discriminated against are feeling free and able to share their stories, and they have done so to try and bring about change, which has been an incredible liberating thing for them as well. But also the support that we've had from the public and from people in general who just care so much, who you know, who maybe have no connection to CF whatsoever, but would, you know, read something I write in the paper or heard somebody else talking about CF on the radio and decided that they wanted to do something, even if it's a small thing like holding a bake sale or, you know, going and campaigning or lobbying. And that's been the most incredible thing, and that's right. The sort of thing that keeps you going, that sort of incredible positivity.
Maybe would it be the same for you? It's the victims that keep you going, victims and outside support?
I think so. First of all, it's the women, and they are, I think it's important to keep them very involved in the work that you do. They are 100% involved and spurring us on at every moment. I think when you come against roadblocks, I think for every person who shuts you down, it's important to build a coalition with other people who do support you so that you can move on stronger each time. And so going to the UN Committee Against Torture for us was a very positive experience, having the Irish Human Rights Commission on board with us, various other UN committees and the Irish NGOs, ICCL, Amnesty. So I think building a coalition definitely helps to keep going in times of trial.
Maeve, thank you very much for talking to us. Maeve O'Rourke and also Orla Tinsley. And banter on the big issues, as I said, takes place at 2 o'clock on Saturday at the Parade Tower in Kilkenny as part of the Kilkenny Arts Festival.